Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
And as you heard there in the news headlines, the Taoiseach said today that the government would consider joining a NATO Partnership for Peace programme or an EU PESCO project to protect infrastructure from attack, such as our electricity grid or important fibre optic cables lying in the oceans around us. Mr. Vraca was speaking during the European Political Community Summit being held in Moldova, close to its border with Ukraine. This all comes after the thought, they said just yesterday, that an alteration to Ireland's triple lock policy should be examined. Well, for more on all of this, we're joined now by Peter Burke, Minister of State for European Affairs, from our Dáil studio. And you're welcome, Minister, to the programme this evening. As I say, the Taoiseach saying today the government's interested in joining a NATO Partnership for Peace programme or a European Union PESCO project to protect critical infrastructure from attack. Why is this necessary now, do you think?
It's necessary, Sarah, because the threat has changed substantially over the last number of years. If we look at the significant amount of infrastructure that are central not only to our state, but indeed to the European Union and indeed the globe, that are outlined right across our exclusive economic zone. We have 97% of the data coming from North America and the US from our cables, from our internet. We have a huge amount of public infrastructure that has been mentioned in relation to the gas pipeline and indeed the Brittany pipeline that has now been worked on that will commence and have the capacity to power 450,000 homes right into Ireland and connect us with Europe. And also we have, through our new planning and consent regime, finished our first major offshore auction to really transform our economy into offshore wind, having a huge base of resource there. So the threat has changed.
So we're exposed.
We're absolutely exposed, and that really underscores as well the cyber threat, which is huge. And your listeners will very much remember right in the middle of COVID when our health service executive was threatened and then attacked by a cyber threat, and so many of the personal data of patients right across the state was compromised. So the threat is changing, and that's why we have to respond and be ahead of that change.
The Taoiseach was very pessimistic about the capabilities of our own defence forces today. He said no matter how much we spent on our defence forces or our navy, we wouldn't be able to do this on our own. It just struck me in the way he said that. It sort of suggested, you know, we've done everything we can in spending on our defence forces or our navy. No matter how much we did, we wouldn't be able to do this on our own. But really, it couldn't be further than from the truth, could it? We haven't done anything to bolster our own defence forces and navy. We've left ourselves completely exposed.
Well, there have been over the last decade a huge amount of competing priorities for the state, and I know your citizens and listeners will absolutely realise that when you're trying to formulate a budget and there's so many areas in need, it can be very difficult. But that's why the government now really brought forward the Commission on our Defence Forces, and we're now agreed to go to Level 2 ambition, which will be about €1.5 billion over the next number of years to increase the capacity of our Navy, our Air Corps and our Defence Forces to try and ensure we're best placed for a population of 5 million, let me add. When you look at the scale we're trying to protect in relation to our offshore, seven times greater than our landmass, our exclusive economic zone is, we are never going to get that capacity. I think we have to be honest about that in the debate, but we have a lot more to do. I absolutely will acknowledge that, Sarah.
Yeah, well, even that €1.5 billion that we're going to get to by 2028, when we do eventually get to it, I think our average spending on defence per GDP is going to be 0.7%. The EU average is 1.2%. We're still going to be way, way below the EU average when we get to our €1.5 billion spending in 2028.
Well, it's critical as part of that debate when you obviously point that out, that we do point out that we're one of four neutral countries along with Austria, Cyprus and Malta in the EU. And that obviously has changed the priorities in terms of, if you're obviously a member of NATO, you have significant obligations to adhere to when you're trying to invest
Austria's
in your defence capabilities.
Austria's defence spending is more than double of ours.
It may be so.
So is Malta's.
It may be so, but the point is, as I said, number one, we're a neutral country. Secondly, in relation to our geographical location, is obviously made people who have adjudicated on the budgetary process over the last number of years invest in other areas, in education, our hospitals, our schools and housing, which we have a huge emergency on. There's been many competing areas, but we, as a government, accepted that we have not invested enough in our defence forces. We've put together the roadmap to do that through the Commission, a group of experts, and we've set out the level we want to get to, and we will do our very best to get to that level by 2028 of €1.5 billion.
Yeah, I suppose before, you know, we start going talking to PESCO about cooperating with them on maritime defence, we might look at our own navy, which at the end of last year had fallen below 800, which is below the minimum level of 1,094. We've vessels that are left docked because there's no one to sail them. You know, with units operating at a strength of below 30%, we're sending contingents to Golan Heights with no doctors because we have a shortage of Navy doctors.
Well, I think that's why we need PESCO to build up our capacity to get and synergies and learnings from other countries.
So we want people to do our work for us, to send us for us.
No, we don't. What we're trying to do is build up our capacity and see how other countries spend their money and to see the expertise and innovation that's in those areas. So if you take the cyberspace, for example, we as part of a PESCO agreement are part of a broad spectrum of countries that come together every year and have an operation called Lock Shields, which is the largest cyber operation simulation in the world. And that gives us an idea in terms of the learnings we can get for that, the experience and the ever-changing nature of cyber attacks. And PESCO provides the pathways for us to get into the real thick of operations, learn from them and see how we best can spend our money in our defence budget in upgrading our capacity and work in new innovative measures. But as I said, Sarah, I'm going to absolutely accept here, we have a lot more to do, okay. But the government has put the building blocks together to get to that €1.5 billion. But when we spend more money in defence, and let's be entirely honest with our listeners, you have to sacrifice in other areas. And you will equally say to me, if we increase our defence budget and, for argument, other areas are feeling the pressure, like education, like our health service, like so many trying to get their first home. There are competing priorities here that the government has to measure against.
So these cooperation projects that Taoiseach is talking about, what will those entail?
So we're involved in a number of projects at the moment in terms of maritime surveillance, cyber threats, and trying to look at how we respond to disaster relief programmes and increase our capacity there. So we have to see the framework in relation to where the Taoiseach explicitly referenced today in relation to our offshore infrastructure and how we could work with other countries to get a better understanding of how to protect our exclusive economic zone. Now, the critical aspect of this will be obviously our neutrality and seeing what essentially any agreement would have contained within it, because it has to be within our neutrality, and I'd be very clear
on
that.
So where is that line drawn then? Because the Taoiseach saying he's interested, or Ireland is interested in joining NATO or PESCO projects to protect critical infrastructure. Could that, for example, involve in Ireland contributing to funding for NATO military vessels?
No, we can't join any military alliances or indeed any mutual defence agreements. We can partake in terms of, as I pointed out, operations and missions which increase our capacity, help our knowledge and gain our understanding of how to respond and increase our capacity. But we can't join alliances, and our constitution is absolutely crystal clear on that. And that's why it will be important to see the detail. And that has not stopped us, we have to point out, from engaging in 4 missions throughout PESCO. And indeed, we're an observer in another 10 missions, again, which increases our capacity and our know-how to respond to the ever-changing environment.
I was interested in seeing Nikolai von Andarza, he's with the German Institute for International and Security Affairs, and he tweeted earlier in response to what Leo Varadkar said, that Ireland is contemplating its role in European security with the upcoming national consultations on security. He said it's further inching towards deeper integration into EU security and defence here with the participation in a PESCO project defending critical maritime infrastructure. Would you agree that that is, you know, objectively what's happening here? We are moving towards deeper integration into EU security and defence.
Well, I think it's important that we have close cooperation, and we have joined, as I said earlier, so many missions that do just that. And recently we joined the NATO accredited Cooperative Cyber Centre of Excellence in Estonia, again, which increases our knowledge and our capabilities in the cyber threat that we've faced in the past. But we have to engage in more cooperation right across the EU, and that's entirely appropriate. But secondly and critically, once it's in line with our constitutional position, in relation to the consultative forum, that's going to really evaluate the threat now, because it's not a binary issue of neutrality anymore. There are huge issues that we're facing from our cyberspace, our critical infrastructure offshore, and the nature of threats are ever changing. So I think we have to engage in that process and hear what the experts say, and indeed our citizens say.
You may have seen McCarthy from Sinn Féin in the Dáil today speaking to Dara O'Brien, and he was talking about that consultative forum and the triple lock, and he was saying how Micheál Martin, in advance of the consultative forum being set up, was saying this is not a foregone conclusion. But then McCarthy noticed that since the consultative forum was announced, all 3 government parties have let it known that they're in favour of amending the triple lock. So he was saying, is it not a foregone conclusion? It seems to be.
Well, I think Sinn Féin changes its mind every day in defence, and we've seen that in relation to PESCO. But in relation to what the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste has said, obviously the triple lock system does place us at the mercy of the Russian Federation in terms of the mechanism whereby you get a UN resolution, a Dáil motion passed, and indeed the government has to approve it, any mission that we have. And we have such a proud history of serving in peacekeeping missions right across the globe. Indeed, of the last 60 years, not a day has passed by when Irish peacekeepers were not on duty across the globe. Yeah. So we have to obviously protect
that. And I think
Irish
people are very proud of all that, right?
They are indeed.
Irish people don't want to be left exposed, and we want to be able to be in a position to defend ourselves. There's a lot of talk, though, around defence for understandable reasons, as you've outlined. Is there, do you think, a need at this point for a debate on Irish neutrality? Because I think Irish people are looking at all the mood music around them and all the different things that are happening and what politicians are saying and are wondering, are we being sort of trotted towards this without anyone actually saying it? And if that's the case, why doesn't somebody just say it?
No, I think our neutral space has been very important to me as a member of the Dáil and indeed citizens right across the country, because I've seen how much it means in terms of really working at the forefront of conflict resolution. It gives a country that is neutral an absolute opportunity to come with all its bona fides to try and assist. And their voice is really heard, in my view, at a higher level because we are neutral. But that does not mean we have to respond to very different threats that face us as a country.
So you don't think there's any need for a debate on that?
No, I think we can always debate these issues, and I'm sure it will be raised within the consultative forum. But my view would be neutrality is very important to us as a country. Our view in terms of not joining NATO is very important to us as a country. But that does not mean, and there's always going to be scaremongering out there when we have other voices saying that if you have enhanced cooperation with various different entities like NATO or indeed the EU right across the globe, that there's something wrong with that. It's not. We have to share information and we have to work harder to enhance our capabilities to respond to ever-changing threats. And as we invest more as a country in our offshore renewables, we're going to have so much infrastructure that's vital to Ireland. But as we invest in offshore wind, it's going to be vital to Europe and indeed the world. And so it's important we cooperate with other entities.
All right, we'll leave it there for the moment. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's Minister Peter Burke. You can let us know what you think to 51551.